eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 5. To the choir master, for the flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. As we get to Psalms 5, we really will discuss, as the title in the ESV adds, lead me in your righteousness, this idea of how God does that. But before we get into that, again, we're dealing with some imprecatory language, some of this hard words towards those who are wicked and evil that we see in verse 4 through 6 and then verses 9 and 10. And I do like how John Goldengay in his commentary addresses this. As a matter of fact, I just kind of want to read that whole section that he has on the theological implications. He says this: under pressure, then, it is appropriate to turn to Yahweh, to recall Yahweh's commitment against evil, to ask for one's attackers to be put down, and to ask for deliverance and blessing for ourselves. I really like this sentence. Christian commentators, and what he gets to at the very end, I should say, Christian commentators contrast the psalm unfavorably with Jesus' prayer for his enemies' forgiveness found in Luke 23, verse 34. The psalm assumes it is acceptable to tell God what we want. Perhaps it implies it is better for our desires to be owned than repressed, not just for the sake of our psychological well-being, but also for the sake of the assailants for whom we might otherwise seek our own vengeance. We then leave it to God to decide what to do with our prayer. Even this psalm, verse 9 in particular, is used in the New Testament. We see this in Romans chapter 3 when Paul does kind of one of my favorite Old Testament rapid-fire quotations. When he's talking about who everyone is, he says, none is righteous. This is Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Part of what Paul is doing in Romans is demonstrating that we fit this description. And all those descriptions where he uses the from Psalm chapter 5, their mouth or their throat is an open grave, and using the tongue for deception, is this quote, but it's one after another of different passages from the Old Testament and from the prophets. And so it's a reminder that, again, even as we pray this, we understand that righteousness is found in God alone. And we see that even in Psalm chapter 5. So in discussing how God leads us then in righteousness, we look at this, and I'd like to contrast for a moment verse 3 and then verse 7 and 8 together. And so verse 3 says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. This really is, as Spurgeon says, not so much a prayer as it is a resolution, that this sets us for how our hearts should be before God. And what's unfortunate is again, we can, in our own wickedness, take the way we treat God and do it in an idolatrous manner, for saying, Lord, look, in the morning I offer sacrifices. Look, and in this I sit and watch for you, hear my voice, do what I want you to do. But it's different, and what we see contrasted in 7 and 8 is that is different for the righteous in waiting and looking to what God will say, not earning his favor or somehow pacifying what he wants for us. But in verses 7 and 8 it says this, but I through the abundance of your steadfast love will enter your house. So how do you enter the house? How do you enter the presence of God? Because of his love. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. And again, if we looked at Psalm chapter 4 with sort of these voices that it's going through, the different people it's addressing, there's a shift in verses 7 and 8 to kind of sort of rephrase what has been said already. But again, it reminds us that it's the abundance of God's love that overflows, his steadfast love, his faithfulness, and that allows us to enter into his house. And that allows us the posture of heart to again respect and be submissive towards God and show the proper respect and fear of the Lord. And then ultimately God then leads us in righteousness in the face of our enemies. He makes our way straight. And so if we talk about the way God leads us in that, is it is the posture of the heart. It is the sacrifice. It is the watching and waiting for the Lord. It is because of his abundant faithfulness that he gives us the blessing of being able to continue in the face of our enemies. Ultimately, though, in verse 11, as we end this passage, you see a shift then in voice as well. It says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love you, love your name, may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and cover him with favor as with a shield. As Derek Kidner says in his commentary, that the psalmist is no longer a man praying on his own, hemmed in by his foes, but is conscious of a whole company who can join him in praise. We are never alone in this. Certainly in facing our enemies and in facing the difficult circumstances of life, we're not alone. It reminds me biblically of the story in 1 Kings 19, and actually 1 Kings 18, we see this as well. Because Elijah, who feels alone, who has been isolated and in the wilderness, surviving on the sustenance that God has given him, he is now coming out and making himself known to Ahab and to the evil king of Israelites and the pagan priests of Baal. And so he's coming out and he runs into Obadiah, who reminds him that there's 100 prophets that he's saved. And then in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah is kind of despairing after the showdown on Mount Carmel, he retreats to Sinai. He waits to hear from God. And one of the things that God assures him is that there are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal, that they have not submitted to the pagan worship. Elijah, you're not alone in this. And so we understand that in seeking God's righteousness and walking in his ways, that we are not alone in this. One thing that I've seen time and time over this last year is we've seen the isolating effects of lockdowns and of the rules and regulations that have come out, whether good or bad, that we are trying to follow. But we also have had these beautiful ways where we're reminded as a church that the way of the righteous, though sometimes lonely, is not one that we're left alone to our own devices. And our church certainly, and the church that we're a part of, I pray that you are blessed to be in a company of people who lift up their voice in praise, who seek God as their refuge, that God is the one who will be a shield over us and our protection. Again, I pray that this has blessed and encouraged you, and that God would continue to lead you in righteousness this week. Thanks again for listening to The Firmly Planted Tree. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful songs.